Welcome to Now Hear This. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. Now Hear This is a conversation with leaders in Indianapolis that are working to improve the lives of Hoosiers. Our goal is to empower you to join in their work and make a difference while informing you about the unseen aspects of life in Indiana. If you miss an episode, you can listen via podcast at nowhearthisindy.com. We have a repeat guest today. We have only had one other repeat guest, but Chris Gray from the Indiana Council on Problem Gambling. You were one of my first guests, maybe the first. No, Rupert was the first guest that I had, and so I was still very nervous in doing this show nearly 60 shows ago, 1 year ago, almost today. And so thank you for coming back. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And every March, we like to check in with Chris over at the Indiana Council on Problem Gaming, as March is Problem Gambling Month. And you can probably guess why March is picked, but we'll talk a little bit about that. And their website is indianaproblemgambling.org. And they have a text line. If you have an issue or would like to discuss problem gambling, you can text INGAMB to 53342. And we'll put that in the show notes of the podcast at nowhearthisindy.com. Chris, thank you so much for joining me. Why don't we start with the Indiana Council on Problem Gaming? Tell us a little bit about it.
Well, the council basically is a resource group. And so we, on our website, we have all kinds of information for people who think they have a problem with gambling, such as a link to the GA meetings. We have a list of providers that you can click on to see if there is a provider in your area. However, one nice thing about COVID that has come out, a lot of this is now online. So you don't even, before sometimes people would drive 2 hours just to go see a therapist or go to a GA meeting. And now a lot of it you can do virtually, which is really nice for a lot of people. And so we have that, and we have a lot of information about what problem gambling is, how to see if you think you have a problem. We also have other sites that you can visit for more information. Plus, we also have information for family and friends of the problem gambler, because that's usually who your support group is when you're going through recovery. And so they also need help. They need to learn how to not be enablers. And so there's the Gammonon link there, as well as they are more than welcome to talk to the therapists as well.
So you mentioned that people go, you know, miles and miles and hours sometimes to see a therapist when it comes to problem gambling. It's much clearer when somebody has an addiction to drugs. There's a physical aspect to that. You know, with problem gambling, the signs in my mind, you tell me if I'm correct or not, it probably is a little more subtle. So what are some signs for those listening? You know, maybe they're wondering, do I have an issue with this, or does my loved one have an issue with this? What are some signs that somebody may be tiptoeing into or may have a full-fledged problem with gambling?
Well, some of the signs are they think about gambling all the time, gambling or gaming all the time. And then there are some physical signs. They get moody. They may get more isolated. They will not be honest about how much they're spending. They'll tell you their winnings. They never tell you their losses. And they will lie about how much they're spending on gambling or how much time they're spending gaming. There's also, they'll miss special events, and their relationships will suffer with others. So, you know, if somebody doesn't make the birthday parties or the planned dinners or, you know, a special day, that could be a sign. And so there are a number of signs, but yes, it is more subtle simply because with like an alcohol or a drug problem, you know, you see more physical signs.
I would think too, you know, with it being on the phone now, being with you know, the sports betting being so prevalent online, little mind tugs towards the phone, or you see somebody that you love just checking their phone all the time, really constantly refreshing that app.
Yes. Or they're on their laptop or computer, constantly checking to see, you know, the outcome of games or what the spread is, that kind of thing. Yes.
And I would also, I mean, social media, a little bit addicting, but you and I have talked last year about video games, especially the online video games with phones can be sometimes, I admitted my problem with Kingdom Rush. You know, those loot boxes can sometimes be addicting too, can they not? And they fall under problem gambling that sometimes people need help with.
Yes, they can. And it has not, the loot boxes and skins, but the other thing is skins. They have not been, in the United States, prior to the pandemic, they were starting to look at these issues, both in the United States and here in Indiana. There are two countries, Belgium and the Netherlands, have banned the loot boxes and skins. And some other countries have been looking at regulating the loot boxes and skins. Even though they tell you that they have no value, you're still paying money to have access to these things.
So let's talk about sports betting, because when we talked last year, it was fairly new. I think it had just kind of been passed and was getting started. And I've got to tell you, I'm in a group chat with a bunch of guys, and there is probably not a day that goes by recently where they're not showing me, posting a screenshot of their wins. Maybe you can tell the story on air if you're comfortable, but you told me something about the Indiana Gambling Helpline, which is 800-994-8448, that may be a little signal that sports betting on apps is becoming a really prevalent thing. How concerned are you about that?
Well, in Indiana, even during the pandemic, for I think it was the last half of March and all of April last year, they were not allowed. Of course, the sports was not going on. They pretty much shut everything down. However, there was still betting going on in Indiana. And while the sports betting numbers went down, it still was occurring. And the interesting thing is, if you read the rules for Indiana, they do allow special events. And one of the special events, and I can't remember if it was the Emmys or the Oscars, but people were allowed to bet on that event in Indiana last year. So it never completely stopped. And then, of course, once the sports came back on, the betting, you know, the amount bet went up. And as far as the Super Bowl, I don't think they have total numbers yet, but the American Gaming Association estimated that 23.2 million people would wager on the Super Bowl, and that around 4 billion would be wagers would be placed on the Super Bowl.
Do we have any idea of out of that 22 million people? I mean, is there any kind of insight into how many of those people may experience some level of addiction to this?
Well, the National Council on Problem Gambling, they have come up with 1% is considered very problematic. And those are the people that pretty much spend everything. Those are the ones that lose their houses, will lose, you know, will have problems with relationships. They'll be spending all their money. They'll be asking people to, they'll be asking for loans from people to continue to bet. That's 1% of the population. There's another 2 to 4% of the population that has issues in a couple of areas, but not every single area. And so, but with those people, any kind of event or something that might occur in their life could tip them over into the 1%. So that those are the numbers that the National Council has come up with. The issue with Indiana is that a survey has never been asked for, or it's never been looked at by the state of Indiana. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and since I was, I'm 37, so when I was a kid, there wasn't a lottery. And then the riverboats opened up, and now there's sports booking, you know, not, you know, you have the horse tracks too. I mean, there's been a large expansion of gambling. So you said there hasn't been any studies. I mean, do we have any idea of the impact that gambling addiction has in the past 30 years of as we have expanded gambling?
I think that, and this was way before my time, somewhere in the early 2000s, there was some type of survey done, but I'm not quite sure what it was. And please don't forget charity gaming.
Yeah.
Because people can have an issue with bingo or playing any of the things that occur at charity events. But since that early survey, and it was really in the early 2000s, nothing has been looked at. And Indiana continues to legalize different types of sporting or different types of gambling, And yet they still they don't look into how it's affecting, you know, what kind of numbers we have out there. A survey has never been asked for. And the people who do have this issue, a lot of them are hesitant to come forward simply because they don't think they have a problem. They don't think of it as a disease. And some cultures, it's very difficult to come forward and say you have a problem with gambling. So the stigmatism surrounding problem gambling, we first have to break through that. We have to make people aware of the fact that this is an issue and that it is a disease. So there's a lot that we still need to, there's still a lot of barriers we have to break through, even after 25 years of gambling of some sort.
So what is the solution? I mean, is it starting with youth and maybe taking a look at, you know, NCAA is headquartered here. I mean, have you made any inroads into talking to a lot of folks who are focused on sports? And I would imagine that's high school and college athletes.
Yes, I have made contact with them. And hopefully this year we are going to be having a one-day seminar to talk to the coaches and athletic directors of colleges and high schools. And we will also be, I'm also going to try to get in, I'm in contact or going to be in contact with them regarding this whole March Madness and hopefully getting out the helpline number as well as the text number.
Well, that's great. I look forward to that. So final thoughts here, final question. I mean, what steps, if somebody is experiencing some of the warning signs or they see a loved one experiencing some of the warning signs, what are some of those first steps that people ought to take?
Well, the first step they need to take is to call the 800 number and get and talk to somebody about your issue. So that would be the first step, because initially we need to be in contact with that person to give them the tools that they need to start their process of recovery. So if they call the 800 number, they can get in touch with the therapist and also go online to try to get to a GA meeting. Even if it's not a local GA meeting here in Indiana, I think there's a national GA meeting you can get to virtually. So start participating in the GA meetings. GA is not for everyone. I get that. It's just like any other 12-step program. It's not for everybody. But I encourage you to try it to see if it's something that you think will help you. And second of all, get in touch with a therapist to talk to them and get started on your road to recovery. And finally, talk to a friend or a spouse about, you know, also getting help or learning a little bit more about this so that they can be supportive.
Chris Gray of the Indiana Council on Problem Gambling. Again, their website is indianaproblemgambling.org, and the gambling helpline is 800-994-8448. And you can text INGAMB to 53342 to get help in case you or a loved one has an issue. Chris, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Now Hear This. I'm your host, Chris Spangle. If you missed any portion of our program, you can listen on our website, nowhearthisindy.com. If you'd like to have your organization featured on the show, please email Gabby at nowhearthisindy@iheartmedia.com. Thanks for listening, and we will be back again next weekend with Now Hear This.